Let's go to Matthew chapter 13 together, shall we? The title of the message, as you'll see from the question sheet on your notes, is The Parable of the Soils. The message notes are on our website. They're also on the YouVersion Bible app. And this is one of the things, one of the parables that you're going to be reading this week in the Harmony of the Gospels as we continue reading that throughout the year as part of our In Him theme, the Harmony of the Gospel. So Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through to 9. And it's the parable that's normally called the parable of the sower. And I've got to say, you know, when I first turned to this, I'm thinking, oh, I've read this so many times and I know what it says and I know what it teaches. And it just was a little reminder to me how familiarity can be a bad thing for us as we approach the Word of God. And so if you're like that, you know, you've been a Christian for a long time and you've read this probably hundreds of times, it's very easy to just go, oh yeah, I know what that says, and kind of skip over it. But I just pray tonight that the Spirit of God will highlight to us afresh some truth through the teaching of the Word, as well as our discussion around tables, that will really encourage us and refresh us, maybe help to us to look at our hearts and to make some changes in our lives, that we won't allow familiarity to breed contempt when it comes to the Word of God. Amen? And so Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, and this chapter records quite a few of the parables that Jesus taught. His first parable was a farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And then Jesus finishes with this stunning statement that he often did when he taught, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so you've got ears, but do you actually have ears of the heart? The Bible talks about the five senses. In fact, we did a series on this about a year or two ago, our five spiritual senses. And it's not just our ears physically, but because it's possible to listen to a message like this, and I'll show you a cartoon in a moment that depicts how we are sometimes when we hear certain things. And so we need to really have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. Let me make just a couple of preliminary statements in regard to parables. First of all, it's really important to understand that when we're reading Hebrew stories, which parables are, they're written from an Eastern perspective and they're all about identification. So whenever Jesus told a story, basically he's telling the story and asking the question, who do you identify with? In this particular case, it's what soil type do you personally identify with? Now, I've called this message The Parable of the Soils because I think that's a far better title. A far better title for this particular parable. We call it The Parable of the Sower, but the sower is the same in each of the four scenarios that we see. And the seed is the same in each of the four scenarios. The difference is the quality or lack thereof of the soil. And so I think that the parable of the soils is a better title. The soil is the human heart. The seed, we're told, is God's word. The Greek word for seed here, incidentally, is sperma. It's the word that we would get our English word sperm from. So it is a seed that is sown that brings life and fruitfulness over the process of time. The sower is anyone who sows the word of God. The sower here is not necessarily Jesus, although when he was telling the story, he was sowing seed, but it's any time someone under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is teaching and sowing the Word of God. So the sower tonight is me. with the help of the Holy Spirit, he will take words that I speak and drop them into your hearts. And if the soil is right, we will see growth in each and every one of our lives as a result. And then there are four soil types to describe four different heart conditions. We're going to touch on these really quickly, and I'm going to give you one word for each soil type that really defines what Jesus is trying to teach us through this parable. And so soil one is the path. Soil one, the path. And verse 19, we're told what this is. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And so notice Jesus' first statement there, when anyone hears the message of the kingdom. So this is the gospel message, but it's more than that. It's the message about the kingdom of God, which is not something we're looking forward to being a part of one day. We are part of the kingdom of God right now. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you and it's amongst us. The kingdom of God, a kingdom is where a king reigns. Is that right? So the kingdom of God is not a geographical location. It is the heart of anyone that has made Jesus the king of their life, which I imagine is the vast majority of us in this room tonight. If Jesus is the ruler and reigner and reigning in your life, then he is king of your life and the kingdom of God is in you. You are part of the kingdom of God right now. And so that's the message of the kingdom. And really the entire scriptures unfold that message. And so whenever you hear a sermon, a message that's been prepared under the inspiration of the Spirit, with diligence in the Word of God, there is a seed from that message that God wants to sow into our hearts. But if it's sown, if your heart is like stony ground, if it's like the path, he's talking about the paths that would surround the unfenced fields back in the day. There would be paths that would cross over fields and they'd been trampled on many times. They'd become hard, rock hard. And if seed was sown on the path, it wasn't good soil, it wasn't good ground, and the birds of the air would just fly down and that was breakfast, lunch or dinner. And so it says here, the devil stole away the seed. Interestingly enough, in Judaism, birds were often used to symbolize Satan, or they were used to symbolize robbers. And so both of those fit here. So that's number one. The word I will give you to describe this soil type is impenetrable. You might want to write that down. Impenetrable. This type of person doesn't allow the message of the Word of God to penetrate their heart. Now, I referred a few minutes ago to a cartoon, and we're going to put this up for you on the screen right now. Why don't you go and blah, 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 blah? I'm sure we've all felt that way. Those of you who are parents, my dad would say to me on a regular basis, Rob, when I talk to you, it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. That's right. And so this is the sort of people that Jesus is speaking about here. He's talking to people and it's going in one ear and out the other. And if we have impenetrable hearts, then the Word of God is being spoken and you're sitting there going, I wonder what's for dinner. Or I wonder when this guy is going to shut up. Or something similar. And the Word of God is going in one ear, out the other. The seed is being stolen. It's not even having the chance to settle in ground. Soil number two is rocky ground. Jesus describes what this means in verses 20 and 21. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, Jesus would be referring to the ground back in his day, that on the surface, if you looked at the ground, you would think there was soil, But it's the sort of ground, if you've ever done gardening, I certainly have on many occasions, and if you're digging in ground maybe that you haven't dug in before, and on the surface it looks fine, but you, little do you know that about this far, just a couple of centimetres under the surface is rock. And you use all the force of the spade, and then it kind of vibrates through you because you've hit the rock, and the pressure of the spade hitting the rock vibrates all the way through you, and it can actually quite jar you. There's only a couple of centimetres, and then underneath it's this bedrock, and Jesus says here that the seed that's sown there germinates quickly because it soaks easily. It's only a little bit to soak, and so it springs up really, really fast, but there's not the depth to put roots down. And so once the rain has gone and the sun comes out, the soil quickly dries up, and as a result, the plant withers and dies. This sort of person is impulsive. So the first one was impenetrable. This kind of heart condition is impulsive. It's the person that does not consider the demands and requirements of the Word of God. They make an emotional response or an emotional decision to the gospel, to the Word of God. They go, oh yes, that's awesome. Jesus, I believe he's died for me. I'll accept him as my Savior. I'm forgiven. This is wonderful. Or they hear a sermon and they go, oh yeah, that's great news. I'm going to put that into practice. But things get a little bit tough because life is not always easy. Anyone discovered that? And during the tough times, particularly times of persecution or trouble, when people start mocking you because of your faith, it's easy to get offended. Or if God doesn't answer your prayers in the way you wanted him to or in the time frame that you had set for him, then you easily become offended by it, and the Word of God that sprung up so fast just withers and dies. That person is impulsive, but their enthusiasm soon disappears. Soil number three is the thorns. Jesus describes this in verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Have you noticed, if you're a keen gardener, that weeds never have to be planted? You have to plant the plants that you want in your garden, but you never plant the weeds, but the weeds grow anyway, yeah? And if you do not attend to your garden on a regular basis and do this boring thing called weeding, the weeds tend to grow incredibly fast. It doesn't matter whether you water them or not. It doesn't matter whether the garden just flooded or if it's been in drought for 10 years. The weeds grow strong. All the other plants start to die. And if you don't look after the garden, then the weeds will overtake the good plants. That's what Jesus is saying here. The thorns represent two things, he says. Number one is the worries about worldly things. And the second is devotion to wealth. Both of those things will throttle the life. They're like weeds in our lives. They're like weeds that choke the plant of the Word of God that's growing up in your life. The seed has been sown and the plant is growing strong, but then suddenly somewhere down the track you start worrying about the things of this world, or you become distracted by getting rich quick, the deceitfulness of wealth, and suddenly the Word of God, the seed of the Word and the plant that's growing in your life, the character of God growing in your life, suddenly is throttled by this. The word I'll give you here is inactive. So the first one was impenetrable, the second one, impulsive. This kind of person is inactive. The inference in the word deceitfulness, the deceitfulness of wealth, indicates that these thorns are so subtle that a person may not be aware that they are slowly being choked. If they were aware, they may do something about it, but instead they're inactive. And so it's a sort of Christian person. They've received the Word of God. They've heard the Word. The Word is growing in their life, but they're standing there like this plant. And these things, the worries about the world and the deceitfulness of wealth are slowly choking them, and they're inactive. They're not doing anything to actually remedy the situation. And then finally, number four, soil number four is the good soil. Verse 23, Jesus says, the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The word here is industrious. This person is industrious. I want you to notice that word, produces. Produces a crop. In the original Greek, it's in the imperfect tense, which means that it's something that keeps happening. So it's not just produces, but it should be translated, they keep on producing. It's a person where the word of God has been sown in their life. It grows, it's bearing fruit, and you keep on producing. Not just for a few days or a few weeks or a few months, but year after year after year, you're fruitful and productive. Couple of things to note before we have a hot chocolate. The same seed. The seed is the same in each of the stories. In one of the stories, it produces no crop. In two of them, it produces some crop. And in the fourth one, it produces much crop. And it all depends on the condition of the soil, the condition of our heart. And the other thing, I just want to finish with this by way of encouragement, is that the soil that produces only a small crop is still called good. I was chatting with a lovely couple at Bayside last Sunday morning. They've been with us for many, many, many years. They're quite elderly these days. And she said to me, because last week Pastor Rick Painter preached, great message, and he talked about not just being an observer, being a participator. And this lady said to me at the end of the service on Sunday, she said, I'm sorry that we don't do very much. And I said to her, I said, you know what? I don't want you to ever feel condemned and guilty. This couple, they're absolutely amazing. Every Sunday after our gathering, they're out in the foyer and they're getting around. And considering these people are in their 80s, but they spend all their time getting around the senior people in our church community, and they're making sure that they've got tea and coffee. They're making sure that no one's left out. They're all constantly bringing people in. And I gave this lady a big hug and I said, you do a wonderful job of pastoral care in this church, and please don't ever think that you have to do any more than you're doing right now. I want you to be encouraged through that word, because it's easy to look at people who are incredibly productive and amazingly fruitful, but Jesus doesn't condemn anyone here. He talks about those who yield 100-fold, those who yield 60, and those who yield 30, and each of those crops is good. Amen. So as long as you're producing something in your life, the character of God, number one, and then flowing out of that a way of ministering to God and ministering to other people, then the word of God is bearing great fruit in your life. Everyone said, amen.